sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. It's good singing. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles. Let's open them up to the book of Proverbs today. Proverbs, and start in verse 20, and then we'll flip a page. Two of my most probably quoted scriptures are found here again. Remember when we used to drive back and forth to Seneca Falls and teach school, every time we passed a beer truck, we would recite a couple of these verses again. So you can probably guess where we're going with this theme then. Proverbs in chapter 20. We just got comfortably set down, so I'll let you stay there. But watch your Bible here. Proverbs in chapter 20, and just the first verse says this: wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And then turn over a page to Proverbs and chapter 23. And starting there, in verse 29, I guess. Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Very powerful scripture here. And notice some things detailing here that we'll look at this morning. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29 starts by saying, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go down, are they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not." Look at the last phrase. "When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Father, praise you and thank you for the clarity of your word and the warnings, Father, that we find there. And I pray again that you'd help us to take heed in a world that has, by Christian standards, accepted drinking. Father, may we realize what you said about it and the importance of it in our lives to, again, be obedient to your word. And we'll praise you and thank you, Father, for not only helping us to comprehend and hold on to these truths, but to spread them, to tell others, And again, here we're living in the middle of wine country. And I pray again that we'd not be ignorant about your scriptures and your position on these things. And help again, Father, that we with love could reach out and touch this wine-stricken world. And we'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Christian booze. Contemporary Christian ideas. I don't even want to call them ideas. Contemporary Christians say, hey, it's okay to drink as long as you don't get drunk. The Bible doesn't say don't drink. The Bible says don't get drunk. Okay? That's the lie of the contemporary Christian. We're going to look at some verses here again that demonstrate the truth of what the Bible says and what contemporary Christianity has completely left out of that instruction. The New Testament analysis of drinking is what we're going to look at here today. And as we do, understand my main points are three. Strong drink, Jesus never made it. Strong drink, Jesus never drank it. Strong drink, Jesus never served it. So very clearly from God's Word, there's a disconnect between what the Bible says and modern Christianity's view of social drinking. And we want to again examine some of those truths here today. First off, we need to differentiate between wine and juice. Notice again in your Bible, Isaiah 65. And if you'd look up these verses, it'd help us again so that we could keep them marked in our Bibles and be able to find them and to refute some of the common teachings of the day and age that we live in. Isaiah in chapter 65 and verse 8, we have always contended as Baptists, as Christians, that strong drink is different than wine. And new wine particularly has always been what God created through His Son. New wine, even the one who drank it said, oh, this is the new wine. You usually keep this or serve this first. And so notice here we have a description of new wine. So Isaiah 65 and verse 8, circle last verse, or have it marked in your Bible so you can pick it up. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. What's a cluster? And how fermented is that? Okay, a cluster is a cluster of grapes, and it has not gone through any fermentation at all. As the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. I'd point out first off here that wine is a destroyer. Since its first use was there again in Noah, if you remember the account before the flood, there was no fermentation going on in this world. It was a different world. But after the flood, again, Noah got drunk. How did that turn out? Again, vilely. And so again, understand from the get-go, from the very beginning, fermented wine is dangerous and destructive. And so wine is differentiated from strong drink, even from the two verses I just read you, that wine is a mocker. Notice it uses the same, because in the Bible you have to do a little bit of discretion and figure out whether this is new wine or whether this is wine. And so here it says wine is a mocker. A strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 23 that we read. Who hath redness of eyes? Who tarrieth long at the wine? They that go to seek mixed wine. And so again, notice again the differentiation here between the wines in the Bible. And most wine is talking about when it says wine, you got to differentiate. Is this wine that's the cluster of the grape wine that's fresh squeezed? Who's the guy that squeezes all the grapes around here? Welch's. Welch's. Is this Welch's grape juice again? Are we familiar with that? Welch's had grapes all over this valley right here before they New York changed the law and said, hey, you can export your wine. As soon as they did that, they tore out all the Welch's Concord grapes and put in winemaking grapes. There's a tremendous difference in all of this. Again, to understand that here, when it's speaking about wine, it's speaking again about fresh wine. And so let's go ahead and look at, so differentiating the wine. And you need to do that when you're reading your Bible and understand those differences. And so let's jump over to some strong drink for abstinence for strong drink. I think I covered all of them. So let's go ahead and look at abstinence. Who was to abstain from strong drink? First off, let me say that Christians are three things. Christians are priests and kings. Okay, the Bible says it calls us that. We've taken on the title of priests and kings. And Christians are consecrated persons. And listen, those three categories are forbidden to drink wine in the Old Testament. And so again, let's look at the verses for priests, Leviticus 10. Look with me back there to Leviticus 10 and verse 8. We should have some of these again highlighted and be familiar with them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and chapter 10. Notice with me verse 8 of that chapter. The Lord spake unto Aaron. I got two sets of slides here. Leviticus 10, 9 and 10, I'm sorry. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Do not drink wine nor strong drink. Okay, and the Lord, verse 8, it says, the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, so this is for the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put a difference between the holy and the unholy, and between the unclean and the clean. Verse 11, and that ye may teach your children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. The priesthood was not to drink. It was not to again have impulse or the effect of alcohol on their mind, because again they had a mind to keep things holy. Christians do as well. Let's look at a Nazirite real quickly. Let's go to Kings first. Proverbs, chapter 31. In Proverbs chapter 31, we have, again, Solomon's writing, his mom is writing. He's given here a pen name, I believe, using Lemuel, King Lemuel. But look what it says in verse 4. Proverbs chapter 31. Let's cover 3, too. Give not thy strength unto women, plural, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. And so again, there we have for kings the instruction of God's word here given to Solomon, given again by mom, is that, hey, it's a path of destruction. Stay out of this path of destruction. It's a path of being mentally incapacitated. And so as we look at that, notice what it says, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Now look at verse 6. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as appointed to destruction. And so, notice again here, it has to do whether you're driving under the influence. And again, we've got legal standards for how much you can drink to be under the influence. But listen, as soon as you take that first drink, you are impaired. And understand that difference. It's taking a 3-2 beers equivalent of taking one ounce of, not an ounce, a shot of whiskey is equivalent to a beer. And so again, when you understand here very clearly that we are not to be impaired at all. We're not to let it have any influence on our minds. And both of these references deal with the mind and making sure, again, that we abstain from it so that we keep our mind on straight. Abstinence for the Nazarene, again, turn with me to Numbers chapter 6. Book of Numbers and chapter 6. I'm trying to hurry here. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and chapter 6. A Nazarene and a Nazarite, it's two different quantities, okay? One is in the Greek, is from the town of Nazareth, and that's what Jesus was, a Nazarene from Nazareth. But a Nazarite, with the vows given here in Numbers in chapter 6, is one who is consecrated. And here, as we read it, it's consecrated for a short period of time. They are consecrated unto the Lord. And so that's what the meaning of that word means. It's a Nazarite, one that has taken a Nazarite vow, is going to take a period of time where they are consecrated to the Lord. And notice what it says in Numbers 6:3, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, that means juice of the grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. And so again, so when one here is consecrated as a Nazarene, there's certain things that they do in that consecration, and they set aside certain things that are important here to put an emphasis on their consecration to the Lord. And so they do that throughout their time as a Nazarite. I've got several verses here on Nazarite. I won't read all of them. But separate themselves unto the Lord. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar. I just read those. Nor eat moist grapes. Eat nothing that is of the vine tree. No razor shall come upon his head. He shall be holy. He shall come at no dead body, it says, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy. And so again, there is a consecration there to God that again emphasizes the importance of being consecrated to God. Let's go back to our verses there in Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 23 particularly. Notice again the things. I just made a list of things that come about because of wine. First off, in chapter 20, verse 1, it's a mocker. It mocks us. And it is a mockery. It is raging. And that word raging means, again, that it's violent and forceful activity. It's a brawling kind of an idea. And it is foolishness. And so again, Proverbs chapter 23, notice a list of things that it brings in these verses. It brings woe, it brings sorrow, it brings contentions, fighting words, it brings babbling, it brings wounds, it brings redness of eyes, it brings tarrying long. And again, once you've started, it's not just, I've only had one. Again, it's something that takes hold of a person's life. tarrying long. It brings about seeking stronger drink. It biteth like a serpent. It stingeth like an adder. It caused you to have strange women. Again, that's one of the main purposes of drinking in our society in this day and age. Saying perverse things. Perverse means opposing or resisting or contradicting things. I like these next two. It says it brings stupid danger. That's my words. It brings stupid situations. And you can see them read there in the proverb. And when you're stricken, you don't even feel it. And when you, again, awake, it says that you will sleep it off with a hangover. And you, last phrase, you'll be addicted. There's an addiction in those. I'm going through, again, some of our Bridge to Recovery program and putting together some of that, again, to understand that, hey, addictions, again, it takes a major, sets a major stronghold in a person's life that has got to be broken down. And so, strong drink. Jesus never made it, he never drank it, and he never served it. In John chapter 2, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, the governor called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning set forth good wine, and when the men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And we'll forever contend that Jesus, after giving all those warnings about strong drink, again, here served good wine, which is new wine, which is not strong drink. Right out of Isaiah 65, we see a correlation of the new wine and here this good wine. Drinking, Christian scriptural abuse. Luke chapter 12 is one they use. Again, my Lord delayeth his coming, and they shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants and eat and drink again, and there's going to be drunkenness. So a servant, again, who's lost his main purpose here, stumbles into drunkenness. We're all familiar with Ephesians 5. Listen to this verse. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's where, again, the modernist Christian says, hey, I can imbibe and still not be in excess. Again, don't even look at it, the psalmist says, or proverb says. Don't touch it. Stay away from it. Again, and Jesus here is not condoning a little bit of it is okay. He's saying stay away from it. I had all the numbers here of being impaired in some of the different states. And again, one beer and you are impaired. And so again, be careful of that. To understand that we are impaired mentally, and that's what God says, hey, I don't want any of my servants, especially mine that are dedicated to me and consecrated to me, impaired mentally, impaired physically. One is intoxicated, as I said, after one beer. It's equivalent of a shot of liquor. It's legally impaired after three beers. But you are certainly impaired after one. And so again, to understand God's rulings here is to stay away from it. Also, my drunk neighbor, staggering around with a fifth of whiskey when I was a kid down in Gang Mills, New York. We lived on 40 Platt Street. He lived on 41. No, 42. They were even. And so, right next door to us, he'd come out and he'd stagger around. And in the evening, he's carrying his a fifth of whiskey in a brown paper bag and drinking it away. And he could quote verbatim, and he often did, this verse, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft-time infirmities. Again, to understand that today Christians try to quote that verse and say, hey, it's okay to drink a little bit. Listen, I would say it's okay to take some Vicks Formula 44. It might be okay to gargle with Listerine. That's the alcohol content. But boy, you're not to be taking a fifth of whiskey and say, hey, it's for my stomach's sake. Hey, and this is for medicinal purposes. And so again, understand clearly that God here is against the drinking of strong drink, and again has stated that throughout. Medicinal alcohol is given there, and it is medicinal, and it's carefully measured out, and it's carefully prescribed. Other than that, a fifth of whiskey don't fall in that category. Communion wine. Let's look at that real quickly. In communion wine, as they were eating, turn with me to Matthew 26, and let's go ahead and look at that verse. The book of Matthew in verse 26. Again, some of you know that the Roman Catholic Church serves alcoholic fermented leavened wine at their communion. They don't call it communion. Again, here we find in the Bible, when we're looking at that, the case of giving the wine here, and notice that it's in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'd point that out and make that clear. The Protestants then came out of that, and they had their Bible open. They said, well, what are we going to drink? Fermented wine for our communion services, or unfermented wine? Guess what they went to again? Yeah, they like that liquor. And so go to church, have a little drink again. There's a pastor that I fondly call, well, never mind. You might recognize him again. He said, hey, I go and have a beer with my congregation, and that's just perfectly fine. God said so. No, God did not say so. And again, to understand that this is contemporary Christianity, and it is wrong, and it's wrong here for this reason. Matthew and 26, look with me starting there at verse 26. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 26. And as they were eating at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As they were eating, Jesus took bread. Listen, pay attention. That's unleavened bread. And blessed it and break it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And so again, it's very important that they used unleavened bread for this symbol. Leaven in the Bible is always a picture of sin. Whenever, again, it's given in parable, it's a sin. And sin is mixed in, even with the offerings of the Old Testament. Even at Pentecost, they were to offer leavened bread, which indicates, again, that, hey, some sin's getting into the church. And certainly there is a mixed multitude, if you would, in the church. And so notice again that leaven is this picture of sin in the Bible throughout. So Jesus took unleavened bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to his disciples. Leaven is a type of sin. Leaven is a yeast, a single-celled microorganism of the fungus kingdom that causes fermentation in dough. Bubbles make it rise, and so that's what leaven is. And leaven in wine makes bubbles. It makes, again, the wine move itself in the cup. And so again, anything with the bubbles in it is a leavened material, fermented. And again, we understand very clearly that here in this cup that he took, it was not fermented. They're at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they would serve the new wine again. And so he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It says then, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Don't blaspheme the word of God, he's not going to sit down and have a booze with us when he returns. It is the grape, it is the unfermented grape that's used here, and that's what he's talking about. When we get together, I'd almost not even say this line, and have a drink with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful of that. To again understand that, hey, this was all unleavened. Whenever we see the wine that Jesus made, the wine that Jesus served, and the wine that Jesus drank was not strong drink. It was unfermented. What then should a Christian do? A Christian who's a priest, according to Hebrews, who is a king, kings and priests. What are you to do? One who's consecrated to God. Abstinence. That's what we're to do. Maintain abstinence. And you have friends, again, that say, oh, there's nothing wrong with drinking. Be careful again and make sure you... you needn't insult them. But again, understand that that's not the teaching of the Bible. And again, understand that they need reached with the truth. Many of them need reached with salvation. And so as we again consider here this topic, the alcohol and the abuse of it, I've been putting together assignments for the Bridge to Recovery. And so I just pulled this assignment that I give. Of course, in the Bridge to Recovery program, many of them are dealing with alcohol. Many of them are addicted to and enslaved by and in bondage to it. And so this lesson's kind of pulled right out of that scheme. And notice here again, I gave an assignment. Here's their assignment for this topic is get your notebook and write the eighth core truth and its key verse. Then it says, in your notebook, write out verbatim the following key verses establishing abstinence from alcohol. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Isaiah 65, verse 8. Leviticus 10, 8 and 9. Numbers 6, 2 and 3. Proverbs 31, 4 through 7. Proverbs 23, 29 through 35, the whole thing, write it out in your notebook, and Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. And so again, to understand that, hey, we need to be aware of this, and we need to take us the same stance that the Bible takes on alcohol. Alcohol in our home, alcohol where we'd serve others, alcohol again, that we need to be careful of. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Alas, it biteth as a serpent, stingeth as an adder. And when you awake, you go back to it again. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that it has a clear teaching about being under the influence of wine and beer and whiskey. Father, I pray again that you'd help us to grasp onto this. And again, that we could live a life of abstinence, that we could again live a life where we follow the directions of your word. That we again uphold our position as your own people, your priests, your kings, in this world. And Father, as we're going to rule and reign with Christ, may we begin now. Following again the rules that you have in our lives, and Father, that we'd recognized all the bondage that people have been brought under because of strong drink. And we'll praise you and thank you, Father, for helping that we could be a hallmark of truth in this area, in our lives, in our behavior, and also, Father, in our witness. We'll give you the praise. Ask these things now in the name of Christ. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. We'll dismiss as we began. 722. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy I shout and sing. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you today.
Yeah. She called one of the texted one.